Over the last couple of weeks, Americans have been receiving their second COVID relief stimulus checks from the federal government, this time at $600 for individuals who make $75,000 or less in income. It's not clear whether there will be another stimulus check coming, so that's been one for $1,200 so far, and now one for $600 to serve as a cushion for folks and stimulate the economy. We wanted to dig further into what economic hardship looks like in Michigan right now and whether those stimulus checks help in the way that we wish they would. Here to talk more about it is Kyle DeBuck, Director of Policy, Advocacy, and Government Relations with the United Way for Southeast Michigan. United Way oversees the ALICE report, which is an annual snapshot of families in the state that are technically living above the poverty line but struggling to make ends meet month to month. Kyle, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
So, according to the ALICE report, more than 40% of our households in Michigan struggle to pay bills and put food on the table every month. Could you talk a little bit more about what the broad view is of poverty here in Michigan?
Sure. So I can tell you that, you know, as an organization, that we're working on the ground every day to meet the needs of people in our community. And, you know, both in the programs we provide and our partners provide, you know, we can see exactly what families are struggling with. And it's really what's laid out in the ALICE report. So as you said, we knew that, you know, before the first case of COVID-19 came to Michigan, we already had 44% of households in our state struggling to cover the cost of a bare bones, no frills household survival budget. Whereas, you know, federal poverty would tell you only 14% of our state are living at or below poverty. You have an additional 29% of people, the overwhelming majority of whom are working or were working before the pandemic hit, who were living in or on the edge of crisis.
Are most of these families, would you say that these families most often are living in urban, suburban, or rural areas?
Families living below the ALICE survivability threshold are in every single community in every county across the state. It's one of the benefits of the report is that it shows you know, that folks living below that threshold are everywhere, and it really obliterates, you know, some common misconceptions about poverty, what poverty looks like, where poverty is, and who's struggling to pay their basic monthly bills, especially amongst those who are doing everything right, who are going to work, who are you know, trying to pay their bills and improve their income, and they're just operating in a system that's not setting them up to succeed. And this pandemic has exacerbated that all across the state, all across the country.
What are the most frequent areas of concern when we talk about economic hardship in Michigan communities? Yeah, I mean, would you rate food insecurity or rent or utilities anywhere in some kind of ranking right now?
What we've seen, you know, through our 211 call service, which is, you know, a 24/7 assistance line that can connect people to supports available in their area in a time of need or crisis. We've seen a dramatic influx of increase in calls, and it is very much about utility assistance, rental assistance, and food assistance. And we also know from our own experiences as a service provider and our partners' experiences that they have been overwhelmed with an increase in calls. And again, this is not just from the pandemic, but the fact that so many people in our state were already living just on that edge of crisis. And now through wage loss, furlough, job loss, or the inability to go to work, even if they had the opportunity because their children are at home, people have lost, you know, substantial portions of their income. And frankly, the federal and state relief has not been enough to fill that gap.
Well, let's talk about that. When we discuss stimulus checks, what can $600 do for a family living slightly above the poverty guideline level?
I don't want to disregard that a bipartisan compromise was reached. So some relief, you know, is certainly valuable, but it doesn't get nearly to the point that you're even covering a family's monthly costs. So according to the ALICE report, you know, in Michigan, and you can break it down to county or local level, but you have for an individual, $1,700 is the cost for one person to survive, you know, just covering their basic monthly expenses. For a family of four, that's $5,000. So a $600 stimulus check doesn't cover, even for a single individual, a half of their monthly expenses.
So one of the things that was on my mind as I was thinking about the stimulus checks as they were debated in Congress is, you know, families who are living close to the poverty line, very often, you know, might get into a situation where they miss a month of rent or they're behind on their bank accounts and fees might start racking up either for utilities or rent or banking. Is it possible that families might be so far in arrears that the $600 might just be eaten up on covering their costs for trying to survive for the past couple of months before the checks even arrived?
Oh, absolutely. And what we know is, according to a recent Moody's Analytics study reported in the Washington Post, they estimate about 12 million Americans are on average more than $5,000 behind on rent. So that comes to about $72 billion in need compared to the $25 billion in rental assistance that was passed in this last package. So we know that families are falling further and further behind as this goes on. And we know that the things we've done have been done to protect public health and prevent the spread of the pandemic. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we are filling this financial gap for families so that when we can open things back up, we don't have a massive foreclosure, eviction crisis that we're now dealing with. And Congress only extended the eviction moratorium through the end of this month. And so that's going to have to be dealt with.
Kyle, do you see any communities or community groups trying different and creative ways to combat poverty right now? Anything that you see trying to address the problem head on?
I think there's a lot of innovative programming that's going on beyond just safety net programming, which is designed to prevent people from becoming completely food insecure or being homeless. There's micro grant programs. Job training and upskilling programs that I think have value. But what we see in the Alice report is a real systemic issue, not that 44% of our households are not lacking some basic skill or some magic formula that leads to success. When we have 44% of families not able to cover the cost of a basic household budget, that is a massive systemic issue that has to be dealt with through public policy and better practices in employment. And I'm hopeful that once we get through this, this crisis that has exposed so many of these flaws in our system and the fact that so many people were living right there on the edge, that we can start having conversations about who we want to be going forward and helping to address these basic household costs and closing that gap between what it costs a family to survive and what people are actually earning.
There are many countries who chose during COVID to provide a weekly stimulus check to help citizens stay home and make it possible for them to pay their bills. Do you see those approaches having tangible outcomes that are different than what we're experiencing right now here in the States?
I think it's clear if folks are able to shelter in place and quarantine because their income has been supplemented, that's going to help us get through the crisis quicker, help slow the spread of the disease, and while we wait for the vaccination to get to a point where we've reached herd immunity. Unfortunately, the way we've approached it here, that doesn't appear to be the case. We know that folks have had to continue working, and that's, I think, a flaw that has driven kind of the disproportionate spread of the pandemic in our country than we've seen in others.
I guess some of this might depend on the details, but I'm just curious, in policy circles, when people talk about ramping up our safety net in terms of rent assistance, in terms of utility assistance and food security, and we think about that guaranteed basic income, how do policy folks think about which one would be more expensive or perhaps more cost effective?
I don't know that the policy debate's even gotten to a place where we're really looking at a cost-benefit analysis. I think there's so much that's driven by ideology that we can't even have a conversation about what is going to provide the best solution to this issue of 44% of households not able to cover their most basic needs. Even in Congress, with the increased unemployment check, the debate turned from how do we keep households stable through this crisis to we're paying people not to work. And especially in the midst of a pandemic, that seemed an odd place and a counterproductive place for the conversation to go, when the priority needed to be on keeping people safe, preventing the spread of the disease, and ensuring that we were meeting household needs while we managed through this crisis together. So I would like to say that we could have real productive policy conversation about some of these innovative concepts. And I can't even say necessarily where United Way would land, because the data and real tangible policy conversation has yet to be had, certainly in Michigan. What's been exposed by this crisis is real deep flaws and inequities in our system that, too many folks are living day to day on the edge of crisis that, we and our partners in the philanthropic sector, working every day to meet those needs and fill those gaps. But what we need are real, tangible systemic changes to address these issues. We need to address the affordability of childcare. We need to ensure families are food secure. We need to ensure folks are jobs are paying, a reasonable living wage, to get to a place where, folks are not, one missed paycheck or a week's reduced hours away from, crisis, from missing their rent, from being under the threat of eviction. So there's a lot to do once we get through this, and we have to have that conversation and learn from this going forward.
Kyle Dubuck of United Way of Southeast Michigan. Kyle, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.